Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Chulin Daf Samach Vav. We begin 5 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So we got that far yesterday. Today begins a new sugya about fish. So Bezat Hashem will start right here and carry on through Amud Beis until Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. For the most part of the Amud Aleph, closer to the bottom, which is the end of this discussion. So it's sort of one big, continuous discussion regarding the kosher signs and the requirement to have kosher signs, when you do have to have it, when you don't have to have, these signs by fish and, sea creatures. Okay, says the Gemara, Badogim, so the Mishnah mentioned that the two signs of kashrus by a fish, kol sheyeshlei snapper v'kaskeses. Snapper is the fin, kaskeses are the scales, and that constitutes a kosher fish. Tanu rabbanan. Suppose ein lo achshav, you don't notice these signs on the actual fish today, but you know it's going to develop later on. This is very similar to what we had yesterday regarding the kosher signs that are going to grow on the develop on the grasshopper. We learned from a pasuk that it's okay because it's all about the type, the variety, the species. And even if it's not there yet, it's not present today, it's okay. The same with the fish. Tanu rabbanan ein lo achshav. Suppose the fish does not exhibit signs of kashrus today. However, va'asad legadol achar zman, it's going to grow on him later on. Kigoyin, for instance, hasoltanis, which Rashi describes as a type of small fish. Belaz, tunina. Well, obviously it's not the big tuna fish, but of a similar name at least. Tunina, v'ha'afion, another type of fish, where the kosher signs will come on later. Here's a mutter. It's okay. So Tosfos asks, he says, back by the grasshoppers, we didn't just, conclude on our own. We had a pasuk to source this halacha. So where's the source from a pasuk to allow fish that have not yet developed their kosher signs? He says that if you look at the pasuk, it says the fish that doesn't have ein loy, and we find throughout Shas that ein loy means ayin alav, ayin, like investigate the matter, coming to teach us that even if it doesn't yet have it, but if you investigate further, you will see that this type of fish will eventually grow kosher signs. That is sufficient. Continues the Gemara. What about in the reverse? Yesh le'achshav, the fish currently has the kosher signs, but they only last in the water. Ba'asid la'ashiran, however, it's going to shed the kosher signs. B'shoa sho'ilam min ha'mayim, when he leaves the water. Kigoy, for instance, return to Amud Beis, and there comes a long list of Persian fish names, as Rashi says, Loshin Parsihin, Kigoin Akunas. So this type of fish which loses its kosher signs when it's trapped, when it's taken out of the water. Vafunas, Kaspsias, Vaachs Patias, Vaatunas. Oh, here's our tuna fish, Atunas, which many Mefarshim learn to mean tuna fish. So all these Hareza Mutter. Akashi, even if they lose their signs on the way out. Tananhas, we have a Mishnah, Imeseches Nida, which prevents a very simple formula to determine the status of a fish. Kol sheyesh lo kaskeses. The fish has scales, then for sure it confirms that it also has the fins. Yesh lo snapper. Because you can't have scales without fins. Yesh lo snapper. But you can have a fish with a fin, ve'ein lo kaskeses without scales. And therefore, yesh lo kaskeses, yesh lo snapper, if it has the scales and it has the fin, right? So it's an automatic presumption. Yes, scales means yes, fin. Then for sure he's a dog tar. However, yesh li snapper, if he has a fin, ve'en kaskeses without the scales, then it's confirmed to be a dog tummy. Asks the Gemara, well, if scales by default mean fins as well, so why does the Torah have to bother mentioning both kosher sides? Michti, look, akas keses kosam chinen. In any case, we are relying simply on the kaskeses. That is sufficient indicator of kosher status. Okay, so lichtei brachmano kaskeses, v'lo lichtei snapper. So why doesn't the Torah simply state kaskeses as the sole kosher sign without writing snapper, which is going to be automatic anyways? The answer is, well, how would you know what is kaskeses and what is snapper? How would you know how to translate these terms? You might confuse them and say, well, kaskeses means a fin, and that's enough, right? Ikas abrachmano kaskeses. Had the Torah only written the kaskeses v'lo kasav snapper without writing snapper, how would I would think, my kaskeses, what is in fact kaskeses? Well, that's not a scale, that's a fin, snapper. And therefore, even a fish with just a fin would be okay, vafilu, even a fish which is dug tame. And therefore, kasav rachmana, that's why the Torah spells out both. So you know, one is one, and one is the other. Kasav rachmana, snapper, v'kaskeses. Now, ask the Gemara, fine. So now that we have both in the pasuk, we clearly know that kaskeses means scales. Look back at the Mishnah. Mishnah says kaskeses are the scales, right? And the snapper is what he uses to navigate and to travel through the water. So how do we know that today? Now the Torah did spell out snapper and kaskeses. How do we know the kaskeses? That this word denotes the scales, levushahu, like the armor, right? The layer of scales on the actual body of the fish. How do I know that it's a levushahu? Oh, we have a pasuk, tachsiv. We have a pasuk by Shmuel regarding Goliath, who was enclosed in this body armor. Tachsiv v'suryan, v'shuryan kaskasim hulav. Shuryan is a armor made of kaskasim. If you ever saw those the images of the old body armor, it was comprised of little sections, little like round little scales, which together provided that protection. V'shirin kaskasim hulavish. Oh, from here we know that kaskasim, kaskeses, means a body cover, scales. So once you have that as a fact, back to the old question, there's no room for confusion and mixing the two things up. So then why does the Torah not simply say kaskeses, which we already know to mean the scales, and we know that naturally when you have kaskeses, you have snapper already, right? So it's just a natural succession, right? If so, v'lichta rachmona kaskeses, v'lichta snapper. So why doesn't the Torah just simply say kaskeses without saying snapper? And now we know that a fish with kaskeses, which automatically also has snapper, is kosher. Why does the Torah discuss both kosher signs, as the Gemara, just to elaborate and to expound and to give us more opportunity for discussion in this holy topic of Torah? Amar Rav Hovah Chaim Tanu Rishmol, Yagdil, to expand, Torah V'yadir, to give us the opportunity to delve and to analyze and to discuss an even greater topic of Torah. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we begin the next sugya, it would make sense to take a quick look at the psukim. In Parsha Shemini, we have the so-called positive pasuk. You should eat, right? Those that have kosher signs are kosher. Then we have the sort of negative pasuk. But if the fish do not exhibit kosher signs, they're off limits. So the first pasuk says like this. This is Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes. Es ze toichlu, mikol asher ramayim. So the following can may be eaten, mikol asher ramayim, from all the water creatures. Now the word toichlu here seems to be extra, because at the very end of this pasuk, it already says, it concludes with oisam toichelu. So toichlu here seems to be an extra expression, which we discuss later. In any case, anything in the water, anything with a snapper and kaskeses, bamayim. Again, the word bamayim. The Gemara later will dwell on the double bamayim. Bamayim is a klal. The next bamayim is another klal, general descriptive term that any creature in water requires these kosher signs. And then the pasuk goes into specifics. Bayamim, ubanacholim. Bayamim, the seas, the rivers, lakes, banacholim, streams. Oy samtachil. So any water creature found in the yamim, the nacholim, these are, naturally occurring, flowing bodies of water. In those bodies of water, fish creatures require snapper b'kaskeses to be edible. So first we have bamayim, any type of water. Then the pasuk specifies bayamim, banacholim, those in the grand bodies of water, naturally occurring, flowing bodies of water. Then we have the word bamayim again in the pasuk. Any body of water. So it's a klal, a general descriptive term, all types of waters, even a cistern, even a... Then we have specifics, bayamim, banacholim, indicating only within those bodies of water require kosher signs. Then we have bamayim again. So we have klal, a general term, bayam banacholim, which is a specific limiting term, bamayim, which is another general term. And we're going to see how that works out later. It becomes a klal prato klal, which tells us exactly which bodies of water require kosher signs. Which creatures within the bodies of water require kosher signs. And we'll see that later. Then we have the pasuk, which looks at the other side of the equation, on the negative side. V'chol she'ein lo'i. V'chol asher ein lo'i stam v'kaskeses b'mayim. U b'anacholim. Mikol sheretz ha'mayim. U'mikol nefesh ha'chayim. Asher b'mayim. Sheketeim lochem. It's off limits. So fish without kosher signs that are swimming in the yamim and the nacholim, Sheketeim lochem, they're off limits for you. Now, as we'll see in the upcoming discussion, there are basically four categories of different types of waters. It's called 1, 2, 3, and 4. One would be the yamim, the nachalim, the seas, the lakes, the rivers, naturally occurring flowing bodies of water connected to the world, global ecosystem, the global water supply. Those certainly need snapper b'kaskeses. On the other side of the spectrum, let's call it number four, we have kalim, water contained in a kli, in a pitcher, in your own house. Any insect that develops in that kli from within, meaning it wasn't imported from outside, but it sort of developed in the kli itself, is okay to be drunk with the water, as part of the water, so you can drink it together with the water, no issue. And that will be learned from a pasuk, that the kosher sign requirement does not apply to water in a kli. Okay, so level one is the yamim and achalim. Certainly they require kosher signs. On the other side we have level four, the kli certainly does not. What about level two and level three? Level two would be like a man-made canal which draws water, which is connected to the world ecosystem, but it's not a natural body of water. As we're going to see, it's connected to the world water supply, it's treated accordingly, and it needs kosher signs. On the other hand, you have level three, which is more comparable to a kli, like a bar, a self-contained, still water supply, like a cistern in the ground, not connected to any body of water, that is comparable to a kli. In which case, an insect that developed inside that water is permissible. So this is the objective. This is the finish line. But to get there, we'll have a long journey. Here goes. Tanu Rabban. We learned in a brayse. Mimash mashenemar echol l'shiyesh loy. Once the pasuk states it in the positive, you may consume fish with kosher signs. And again, the kosher signs are the snapper of kaskeses, right? The fins and the scales. So once I know that, Shomiani, I will infer on my own. I can conclude that otherwise, don't eat it. I'll tell you, do not eat Eshe'emai, the ones that don't have. And likewise, Umimashma Shanamar, I'll tell you, Eshe'emai. Once the Torah expresses it in the negative, do not eat those that do not have kosher signs. Shomiani, I will conclude on my own, Echol Eshe'emai, do eat the ones with kosher signs. V'lama Shana, so why did the Torah repeat itself? You may eat the ones that do, you should not eat the ones that don't. Once it says, eat only the ones that do, that gives us room for a diuk. It's called a lav haba mechlal asay. It's a negative which is derived from a positive. Only eat the ones that do have signs as opposed to the other ones. So why repeat yourself and explicitly state that you cannot eat those that don't? V'lo mashana, lav or olav basay v'lo asay, to pile on more transgressions. One consumes non-kosher fish. He has violated Lois Essay, the outright, explicit violation of do not, and also he has violated the do. Do eat only those that are kosher, as opposed to those. So that's considered a double violation. Okay, now let's go back and analyze that pasuk. So the first is the sort of positive pasuk. Do eat. Toichl mikol ha-shabamai. And the question is, why? Why does the pasuk have to express toichlu, which seems to be repetitive? Once the pasuk will conclude for us with the words oisam toichelu, do eat these. So why start with toichelu? Why the repetition? Toichlu mikol ha-shabamai, matam olim. What's the point of this extra expression? The answer is to allow consumption of fish creatures that were discovered in level 3, that's the self-contained cistern, even without kosher signs. That's going to be a lesson in this word, in this phrase. What's the point? Because I would think, once the Torah allows what? Allows those in containers. By the way, when we refer to allowing those in, we're talking about sea creatures like fish or insects that are lacking the kosher signs, just to be clear for the whole sugya, right? We're allowing even without kosher signs, okay? We have a pasuk. And soon the Gemara will explain exactly what the Gemara meant here, b'mefurash, in a clear fashion. So, in one instance, the Torah clearly allows those in Kalim. V'hitibristam. And then in another instance, the Torah allows it, but not as explicit. So, basically, one is the Pasuk Tes, one is Pasuk Yud. In one place, and then more later we'll discuss which one is clear, which one is not as clear, which one is more explicit, which one is more sort of obscure. But in any case, we have an indication in both psukim to allow something with, even without kosher signs. Hiter b'mafurash, it allows it once explicitly. Hiter b'stam, in one instance, it allows it more or less, not as clear. Ma'akash hiter b'mafurash, just like the explicit permission is only for those in actual kalim level 4. La'yiter al b'kalim, akash hiter b'stam, likewise. The Torah permits it in a less than explicit fashion. It's only allowed if it's an actual kli, level 4. What about level 3? What about the content of boiros? Self-contained, still water cisterns, shichna ma'aros, which are different configuration of pits, right? And you can bend down, drink straight out of it, without hesitation of encountering any insects. Is that okay, Tamaloyme? Yes. Comes this extra expression, Teichle, which we revealed as an extra expression. Tamaloyme Teichle, Mikol HaShabamayim. That's allowing even level 3. So at this point we know level 1 is Yamim and Echolim. There it's Asr, without kosher signs. Level 4 are Kalim, that's Mutter. And even level 3, self-contained in-ground water supplies is okay. Now, heichan hiter bekelim. How do you even know that level 4 is okay? A kli content is okay. Dechsev. Take a look at the pasuk, which specifies only natural bodies of water. Dechsev es zeh toichlim kol shebamayim. The kosher sign requirement is only for those found in mayim. What type of mayim? The pasuk explains itself. But yamim benacholim. Seas, rivers, streams. Only in those bodies of water may you only eat creatures which exhibit kosher signs. The less labor without kosher signs, lo seichel, you don't eat it. But, however, if it's in a kli, level 4, avagav the less leichel, even without kosher signs, they're okay. So kli is certainly different. But one second, who says it's different in a positive sense? Maybe it's even worse. Maybe. If it's in a kli, kosher signs won't even help you. Ema, perhaps I can suggest just the opposite. Bekelim, I understand the kli is different than a stream. But in which direction? Ema, bekelim, perhaps I can say in a kli, afal this le seichel. You can't even eat it with kosher signs. Kosher signs are only helpful if it's in the yam and the nechalim, but not in the kli. Says the Gemara, no, you can't suggest that. Loisaka daitach, you can't have that notion. Chsiv. For that, we go to the next pasuk, which is the sort of negative pasuk, which will also teach us the same point in a very clear fashion. A sea creature which is found in the yam and nechalim, which is lacking kosher signs, is off limits. We infer that if it's in a kli, it does not require kosher signs. But yam banacholim, only in the seas and the rivers. The last leilay teichel, you can't eat it if it doesn't have kosher signs. Habakalim, however, in a kli, be my guest. Avagab the last lay, even if it has no kosher signs, echel, you can eat it. So here it's pretty clear, without room for any ambiguity. So at the end of the day, what do we have? So far we have level 1, which is yamim and echelim, they require kosher signs. Level 4 are the kleilim, do not require kosher signs. It's based on a sort of a combo drasha, combo source, combining both psukim, with a similar inference derived from both, that a kli is okay. What about the boiros, sichna maris, which are level 3, self-contained still water collections? They're like the kalim. And no kosher signs are needed in those as well. Asks the Gemara, why do we need a special pasuk, a special source, to allow the content of a boyer? We can simply look at the actual pasuk itself, and we'll see that the pasuk is broadcasting to us this very halacha, just from the wording of the pasuk. Because if we look at the pasuk, we see it begins with Mikol Asher Bamay, anything in water, any water. But then it specifies bayamim banacholim, what type of waters naturally occurring, flowing bodies of water they require, but not a boyer. Why can't we just simply say bayamim is a klal, a general descriptive term, referring to any type of body of water? But then we have specific references to specific types of waters, bayamim banacholim. That's a prat. It's a limiting term. In which case we have a klal, followed by uprat. And what happens then? It constricts it, limits it. Ein b'chlal, el mashu b'prat. The klal only applies to something which is described in the prat, which means that the kosher sign requirement is limited to yamim and necholim. Yamim and necholim, yeah, they require kosher signs, but ne'itzin, v'charitzin loy. Even itzim v'charitzin. Listen to this. This is level 2. Like these canals. Itzim are the long narrow canals. Charitzin are the wider canals, which are drawing from and connected to the rivers and the global, you know, ecosystem. Perhaps that's also exempt. Itzim v'charitzin loy. And certainly a bar, which is level 3, Says the Gemara, hold it, because it doesn't really end there. Bamayim. Remember the pasuk. Repeats the word Bamayim again. Chazav ekala. It's back to general. Okay? So it expands it, broadens it. Clearly it's not limited to just the actual rivers on the seas. Says the Gemara, hold it. Hani trei kloli desmich lada dininu. In terms of the wording, you know, the order of the pasuk, the two words that you're alleging to be klalim are not situated the way typically a klal prata klal is situated. Usually it's general, specific, and general. Here it's ezeh teichlu mikol shabamayim. Bamayim is your klal, and then again klal shabamayim is bamayim. So it's klal klal, and then it's a bayam banachal, which is your prat. How does that turn into a klal prat to klal? It does. Amravina. Kedam Rava. As they said in Eretz Yisrael, this too qualifies. Kalmokem shatamoytish neklolis hasmuchen lezelezeh. Wherever you locate two generalities situated next to each other in this type of configuration, we turn to the next page. Hatal prat b'neim. You can relocate, transplant the prat, which is the Yamim and Cholam, insert the Prat in between, so to speak, in between the two Klals, with Dainam, and you can now apply it as a Bechlal or Pratu Klal. Okay, so if that's the case, it won't be as limited as you thought. It's actually going to get pretty broad. Why? So the word bamayim, the first one, is a klal, denoting any water. Then we have bayam v'necholam, river, streams, that's a prat. Okay. Then we have bamayim, chaz v'kalam. Once again, it generalized it for us. It broadened it for us to tell you that now, any body of water which is somewhat similar to that example would be included. Klal or prato klal. What happens now? You have to done alkena prat. You apply it based on the similarity to the prat, which is yamim and acholim. And guess what? It would even include level 3. Because what defines the yam and the nachal? Ma prat mefurish. What's a good way to describe the yamim nechalim? Mayim noivim. It's flowing water. Af kol mayim noivim. Likewise, any flowing water is included. May Rabbi. So what is going to be covered by this new formula? Not just the actual river and the stream, even the Haritzim Neitzim, those man-made canals which are connected and are flowing from, they're drawing from the river, it's also included, Lisura. It also has the Isra, meaning it requires kosher signs. Remind me, what are we excluding from this requirement? Bereshich HaMaris, which are the actual self-contained in-ground bodies of water, cisterns of all their, you know, of all their variations. Letera, that's okay without kosher signs. So at this stage, level 1, which are the yamim, need kosher signs. Level 2, which are the charitzin, need kosher signs. Level 3, which are the bayrois, no need for kosher signs, and certainly the kli. Ask the Gemara, it's not so simple. Who says to exclude level 3? Ve'emo, we can apply the formula a bit differently. You see, you're conceding that it's not limited to yamim and achalim. That's the, by nature, that's how klal prata klal works. It's expansive. It will cover anything that's similar. A boir is also similar in some way to a yam. It's an in-ground body of water. Right? I mean, why not include him as well? Ve'ema, we can say, ma prat mafurish maim gedel in algabi karka. What defines the prat, the yam, the nachal? What defines it? It's water, you know, gathered on the ground. Perhaps we'll include even the gathering of water in the pit as well. Water situated in the ground of all types and stripes is included. Umay Rabbi, and what will be included now? Afilu Bayres, Shichin Amaris Lisur, even they require kosher sons. Now something has to be excluded. After all, that's the message of the Klal Prato Klal. You have to be similar, and something which is dissimilar is excluded. Okay, we'll have to exclude something. Let's exclude only the most extreme of our examples, level 4. Umay Miet. What got excluded? Miet Kalim. Water and a Kli, level 4, but not level 3, not a bar. Says the Gemara, you're right. But in Cain, if that were to be so, if that were true, let's remember we had that extra pasuk only in the beginning of our discussion, right? We had the word teichlu, which was superfluous. Which is telling us that there's something more than meets the eye. There's something extra that's excluded as well. What's the purpose? What will be the accomplishment of the word teichlu? Even without teichlu, I would exempt kalim from this requirement. Teichlu comes and says, no. We'll drop down one more level. So level 3 is also going to be exempted through the klal pratokl. Okay, so that's the first approach in the Gemara. Very clear. We have 4 levels, different types of bodies of water. We have level 1, which are the yamim and acholim, the actual rivers, the actual seas, the lakes, the rivers, the streams. They require snava rikaskasas. Likewise, charitzin and neitzin, which are man-made, but they're connected. They relate to the world, you know, ecosystem. On the other end, we have the boires, shichin, amoreis, which are contained still collections of water. So despite them being in the ground, they're exempt, and certainly the kalim. And regarding the source of kalim, we have the both sukkim, actually, the positive pasuk and the negative pasuk, both indicating to us that kalim are mutter. Each pasuk, you know, in its own way, and we'll clarify that a bit later again. Continues the Gemara. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. However, in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, they presented this discussion a bit differently, a bit of a different type of formula. But ultimately, at least according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, we achieve the same results. We get to the same destination. Bamaim, bamaim, right? So the pasuk mentions bamaim twice. Shtei pamim, ein zeh klal uprat. Instead of using it to formulate a klal uprat, which typically actually gets you a more narrow formula of criteria, elariba umiyet. Rather, it's a slightly different type of formula. It's riba, miyet. Riba means we cover pretty much everything. Miyet is, okay, leave something out. Not all bodies of water need the kosher signs. Followed by another mentioning of Bamayim, which again is Riba, expansive, which would yield the following formula. Riba, Umiyet V'Riba. It includes, it excludes, and it includes. Riba HaKav, pretty much everything is included. My Rabbi, so what are we trying to include? Level 2, Charitzin, Unitzin, Lisur. The canals are Asur as well. Umay Miyet, but something has to be pushed out. You have to exempt something. Boireis, Sheikh Namaris, Latera. We're excluding the pits, man-made pits. Level 3. So as they were Ema, my riba boires shichin amaris lisura. Who says perhaps we should include level 3 and require kosher signs and only accept level 4? Umay miyet miyet kalim, only exclude the kalim level 4 and kain toichlo maharigle. Okay, same answer as before because we have that word toichlo which is extra in that first pasuk. What's the purpose? What's the message? Apparently, to allow even level 3. Says the Gemara, okay, so you have to include something, exclude something. Who's to say to include level 2 and exclude level 3? Perhaps the other way around. The answer is because Tani Matasya, as Matasya presented, Tani Matasya Bar Yehuda. He presented the following explanation. Ma rois l'rabis boris shichna moris l'ateir. Who's to say to allow level 3 and allow it without kosher signs? Ulo itzi charitzim nitzin l'isur, and to consider level 2 as asur. The answer is very simple. Because what's most similar to level 1? Level 2, right? Mar bani boris shichna moris shena tzurin kekelim. The reason why I include, meaning I allow, level 3, because the content, the still water content of a boir, is very similar. It's contained. It's still like, just like the water in a container. It's like level 4. So since it's more comparable to level 4, we assume he's treated accordingly. As opposed to level 2, umoitziani, I'll exclude from the permissibility the charitza and the itzin, the canals, she'ein atzurim kekeim, which are not contained and still confined bodies of water similar to the content of a kli. Rather, they are more similar to the free-flowing natural bodies of water out there, and therefore they're regarded as such. Okay, so ultimately, according to Rashi, we achieve the same result. Level 1 is asur, level 4 is mutter, level 2 is like level 1, level 3 is like level 4. Okay, one more last point to clarify. So, way back we discussed the source of the heter of kelim. We have the two psukim, the positive pasuk which says you can only eat, right? Those are kosher signs, provided they're in the yamim and a cholam, but something in a kli is exempt from this requirement. Then we have the negative pasuk: do not eat those that are lacking kosher signs, provided they're growing in the yamim nechalim, indicating that if they're in a kli, they're okay without kosher signs. Now, the Gemara referred to one pasuk as the more explicit one, and the other one as the less explicit one. Which one is what? We have another machlekes on that. Hai sasam, which one is the less explicit? By mefurish, which one is the more clear? Pligi, what? There was machlekes between Racha Ravina in this manner. Chadama one says, yeshle, the positive pasuk, the yeshle, is the one that's klim refurish. Ve'einloi, the negative one, is the sus. And the other one says the other way around. Chadamar einloi meforish. The second pasuk is meforish, is more explicit in terms of allowing the content of a kli without kosher signs. Ve'eishloi, and the first pasuk, the positive one, is the one that's less clear, is sus. Why? What's the basis of this disagreement? My time demand amar yeishloi meforish. Why would you say that the first pasuk is more clear? Amalach, he says, because minnei, based on the wording of that pasuk, who dekam mishtru kelim, or allowing the content of a kli. The pasuk says, oy samtoi chelu, right? Only those growing in the yamim and acholim require kosher signs, but in the kli, it doesn't need it, so it's pretty clear. So that's called mefurish. Rashi explains, as opposed to the second pasuk, although it's inferring to us the same point, but it's not as clear. Because in the second pasuk, it says, do not eat, right? Those that are lacking. But it says it near the words, umukol nefesh achaya asher b'mayim. There it says, Sheket heim lechem, do not eat. It doesn't say, doesn't refer to refraining from eating right next to the words Yamim and Acholim, which indicates that Kalim are exempt. It's not like right, it's not as direct, as clear as the first pasuk where it says the words Oysam Techelu, you should eat only with kosher signs, right next to the words Yamim and Acholim, which indicate Kalim are exempt. In the second pasuk, it's not as clear. Okay? What about the other opinion? My time at the Omar Ein Lemefurish. Why does the opposing view hold that the second pasuk is more clear in terms of generating the permissibility of Kalim? He says, "The hayu de kamoicha chayich." And by the way, Rashi says also that the second pasuk will exempt kelim based on a klal prato klal. It's a drasha. Again, it's not as clear as the first pasuk. Okay, fine. Now, what about the opposing view? My tamid ma'ad omar elam efurish. Why is he considered the second pasuk to be more clear? The hayu de kamoichach, because it's only due to the second pasuk that you understand the first pasuk. The kamoichach, it reveals to us ahayich regarding the true meaning of the first pasuk. Why? Dimi ahayich, because if only from that first pasuk. Habamina, I would say, yeah, kelim are treated differently than yamim and nechalim. That's pretty clear. In what regard? Maybe in a negative regard, like we suggested earlier. Kelim are different, set apart from yamim, but maybe to say that kosher signs won't help you in a kli. So if it's growing in a kli, it's not its natural habit. You know, kosher signs won't really help you. It'll be usher even with kosher signs. I mean, I would think the kelim, something growing in a kli, afak of the islay. You know, if the creature has kosher signs, nami lo yisechel, even then you can't eat it. Comes the second pasuk and says, no. That's the negative pasuk, which says, do not eat. Oh, do not eat only those who do not have kosher signs, provided they grow in yamim and achalim. But otherwise, if they grow in a kli, you don't eat non-kosher signs. So that's more of a clear-cut resolution on this issue, which reveals to us what the first pasuk had in mind as well. You may only eat with kosher signs, provided they're in yamim and achalim, but if they're in a kli, don't need kosher signs. Okay. So what did we learn today? Discussed the fish sugya. Dogim needs nefer because keses, and we learned that as long as it's the type, it's the variety, even if it comes later, it's okay. Likewise, if it's here now and it sheds it on its way out of the water, it's also fine. We learned that once you have kaskeses, automatically you're known to have a snapper as well. Yagluter v'yadu is why we discuss it. Violation of eating fish without fins and scale is a double transgression, an asay and a leis asay. We have the four levels, four categories of bodies of water. Yamim and nechalim require, so do the charitzin and the itzim, which are connected to them, as opposed to the kelim and the boyer sichin ma'oreis, which are self-contained still bodies of water. The creatures within them are mutar, even without presenting kosher signs, which we will be as Hashem continue in tomorrow's discussion. All the best to you and atzlachar.